You take God's Word in your hands, if you have a copy of it, and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll be reading starting in verse 18, and we'll read through chapter 3, verse 12. So starting in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, verse 18. This is the Word of our God. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in His mouth. And while being reviled, He did not revile in return. While suffering, He uttered no threats, but kept entrusting Himself to Him who judges righteously. And He Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by His wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the Shepherd and guardian of your souls. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also, who hoped in God, used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you have become her children if you do what is right, without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, as since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you are called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now that is the word of the Lord to us from this book, 1 Peter. What are Christians and their relationships to look like? We're continuing the same thought that we've had since the beginning, the implications of the believer's sure salvation in Christ. We've seen the need of personal holiness. We've seen the need to have a reverent fear of the Lord, to have those mutual love for the brethren, membership in Christ's church we saw last week, and the implications of those relationships in the world and also in the state and with your state and governing authorities. But we continue that those relationships, the implications of the Christian's relationships that one has. In verses 18 through verse 7 of chapter 3, we have the Christian's relationship in the context of the household. What happens within the house? The servants, which we don't really have these that much anymore. Servants within the household are to be submissive to masters with all respect. Here we could apply this easily to, as we've seen in Ephesians, and we've talked about it there a little bit, to bosses and working under someone's authority. Just any time you're under authority of someone else. Here is what you are commanded to do. That you are to be and put yourself under their authority, submitting to them. That you're to have a fearful reverence, a respect for them. Notice the qualifier, not only to those who are good bosses and good masters. You think of any authority, so you think of your parents, you think of your husbands, you think of any governing authority, whatever it is, it doesn't matter if they're good or not. It doesn't matter if they're righteous. Here it says, even those who are unreasonable, you are to submit to them. Why? So that when you do what is right and suffer for it, and patiently endure it, you will find favor with God. God will shower you with His grace. Christ is our example. That's what He goes into in verses 21 to 25. He looks at Christ and His suffering. What did He do? We read Isaiah 53 last week when we were partaking of the Lord's Supper. And when they reviled Him, He did not revile in return. He did not return insult for insult, just as we see here. And so we are to do as well in submission. We are to submit in all things and show our good works before them so that they might be directed to Christ and see Christ in us and see their need for Christ and then turn and repent. And so because Christ has sacrificed all for you, you are called to sacrifice all for Him. In verses 1 to 7 in chapter 3, He gives instructions on how to relate to the husband and the wife. Though 1 through 6, the wife and how she ought to relate to her husband. She ought to be submissive, and even when he is disobedient, so just like the servant is to the boss, the wife to the husband, even when he is disobedient to the word, they might be one without a word. Even if that has to do, and you might have to go through some type of suffering. Even there you see the word, we'll look at this evening in Ephesians, but even in verse 6, if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear, because Christ has suffered, you might fear what you might have to go through because you are called to submit. And yet remember, what he's saying is, remember that you don't have to be frightened because Christ went through this, and even if you die in your body, He will raise your body up from the dead. And so you have no reason to fear, even in the midst of a situation which you may fear. And no true fear needs to be there. And husbands, you are to be gentle with your wives, one who is weaker. Why? To show her, it says, show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And so if your wife is a believer, honor her. Why? Because so that your own prayers won't be hindered. If you are loving her and you are treating her and honoring her, then your prayers won't be hindered. You'll be praying to the Lord that much more, wanting to see her submissiveness, wanting to see her submissiveness to Christ and her love for Jesus and her following of the gospel when you're not honoring her. And not living out your life according, showing your authority and giving her the word and nourishing her and cherishing her, just as we'll learn in Ephesians in the next couple weeks. Then if you're not doing those things, your prayers are going to be hindered. You're going to be worrying about what she's doing more so than yourself. And not living as Christ calls you to live. And so your prayers will be hindered. And so honor her as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And then finally, we have a summary, verses 8 through 12, of all these relationships which he's described, even from the government and the state and how you live before the world. So from what last week all the way up to what we just learned through verse 7. And so I'm going to read that again, just as a summary of all these relationships, how the Christian is to live. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for this, your word. and the calling of each Christian, no matter what position or what part of the Christian life they're in, whether a wife or husband, a servant, one under authority, one in authority, doesn't matter, Lord. You call us all to be humble, to be tender-hearted, to be loving each other, just as Christ loved us, and love one another as ourselves, as we would want to be treated. We ought to love one another. And here you show that part of that means that we will suffer. As 1 Peter is going to go on, we know that we're going to be talking about suffering more. And here, living the Christian life means that we will be persecuted, that we will suffer for Christ's sake. Just as He suffered on our behalf, we are called to suffer for Him. And so even in our Christian relationships, not just in the world, not just before governing authorities, not just before as we go before our work, to work each week and before our superiors there, but even in our homes where everyone, or the husband and the wife, are both Christians, we will suffer there. We are called here to suffer with a peaceable spirit, with a love, and not returning insult for insult and reviling in return. But Father, we pray that even in our love for each other, even our submission to one another, you would enable us by your strength, by your almighty power, and by your Holy Spirit who is within us to live out the Christian life. To live out the Christian life even before other Christians and before the body of Christ and before our husbands and before our wives, before our children, before our parents. That we would see Christ, so that we would see Christ in each other. Father, that is our longing in the body of Christ and in our homes. That we would see, that actually others would see Christ working in us and through us. That He would be magnified and He would be praised and glorified in all things. Father, we pray that You would show us again and again this example of our Savior Jesus, that we would learn how to walk just as He has walked. Walk worthy of our calling and walk blameless before You. And Father, we pray also for those in authority over us, for our government. We pray that You would raise up leaders who are Your children, who love You, who love Your Word, and who desire to follow after Your Word and rule according to Your Word. And we pray the same for our those in authority over us, our husbands, our bosses, our parents, and everyone in authority over us, that You would cause them, those leaders, even in the church, the elders, that You would cause them to follow Your Word and teach the Word and speak the Word, that we might follow You even that much more and be enabled and equipped for the works of ministry. Now, Father, we also ask for Your particular blessing upon our church, our marriages, as we continue this evening with thinking about the roles in marriages and in the home. We pray that You would show Your particular blessing upon us and You would shower us with Your grace, that we would grow in these respects, in these aspects of life, and that You would equip us to serve You and Your kingdom for Your glory, that people would see our good works because You're working in us, them, these works in Christ, and they would glorify the Father who is in heaven. And that's our supreme goal, that You would that all things would glorify You. That's our chief end. So we pray these things in His name, Jesus' name. Amen.